podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Podcasting to you from a field here in beautiful rural Ireland. I'm Trev Downey, and this is the Anfield Index podcast, for which I am joined by Carl Kopak, by Cam Branch, producer Guy Drinkle, and for the first time, Lisa Marie Hanahan. And it would be silly for us not to acknowledge our new guest immediately before we do our usual round the table stuff. And we'll go to you last for that, Lisa Marie. But just first, can I just say on behalf of myself and the lads, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you and look forward to talking to you about various Reds-related topics. But we will go the tried and trusted method for this show and stick to our schedule and our normal routine. Now, I'm not sure how much listeners will be aware of Irish culture and current Irish culture, but there was a thing called the All-Ireland Final, which is a fairly huge Gaelic football match, which occurred last weekend. And in that match, the County of Mayo lost again. And I have an awful lot of, you know, personal connections to the county, and I felt nothing but sympathy for them. They just have this terrible, terrible luck that seems to just dog them. In fact, some people go back and look at a little curse that was placed upon the team back in 1951. It's a remarkable story. But in honour of Mayo, I wanted to just maybe do something that was going to lift the spirits a bit. And we had this guy on before. He's actually a Galway man, which mightn't sit too well with Mayo listeners. And his name is Paddy Losty. He's quite the character. He's called Pint Man Paddy, and I think I've played him before. This is just a 30-second clip about how Paddy wants to talk about how he doesn't really like to drink much. But when he does, he goes at it, as Paddy says himself, with a bit of a vengeance and a thirst. And I just wanted to play this because I think it was very much what would have been on the cards for most Mayo people in the immediate aftermath of yet another defeat. So here's Paddy for 30 seconds.
And I wouldn't be fond of drinking, but when I go at it, I do go at it awful and very hard. I do have 45 pints in about 2 hours. I'd have a packet of crisps then and maybe an old packet of peanuts. And I'd go for probably, and I'd have 10 more an hour. And then I'd get up the following morning and morning have the fry on. And I'd go ahead again. And there'd be no fucking stopping me. I'd take the shirt of any man's back. Bastards.
Gotta love that. You've got to love that. The unnecessary aggression at the end is my favourite bit. Carl Kopak, how are you getting on, my friend? What have you got for us to start with?
Well, firstly, it's just because Lisa Marie's here. I remember I read a Beatles book where they said, remember the Let It Be film stroke album stroke aggressive standoff thing? And they said when Billy Preston came in to do to do Get Back and Don't Let Me Down, he's a keyboard player, that they all like started acting at their, on their best behaviour because the new kid had started. That's what
yes.
It is.
Oh, now don't
look
back at my account.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, Lisa Marie. Don't worry. It'll last for it'll last for a couple of minutes. This good behaviour malarkey. We're all just pretending. So what have you got for us for an opening quote, Carl?
Well, my opening quote does contain the C word. So if you've got any young children, please cover their ears.
Okay. Well, there goes the neighbourhood already. Yeah.
Okay. But it's necessary to the quote. The quote is this, and I particularly ask you to listen to the first two words. Good article. A minority will unfortunately tarnish the majority. I was walking through the Leeds end when a few knobs, panked in and thought it was funny to start singing, "I'm a cunt." Some more aggressive than others. A few more joined in. For the record, I'm not.
You see, we have a little bit of an inside track here. And by the way, can I just set this up for listeners that this is the ultimate humble brag on behalf of Kopak here. This is about to clang like nothing has clanged on this show before. Please do inform the listeners as to the context of this quote, Carl.
Well, I write a weekly column for another website, and it comes out on Monday. And my good friend Robbie Fowler replied to it. it's the second time he tweeted me. The other time he tweeted me, there was a game going on where, you know, that thing like where you take a movie title and you take a letter out or put a letter on, and he was involved in that. And I said psych instead of psycho, the biopic of PJ and Duncan, which no one's going to get in a million years. But and he replied, haha, quality. So I think that pretty much makes us best of friends now. And then to make it worse, McAteer got involved as well. So the three of us, we're all
pretty my mate Jay. We should do. We're clearly doing this. I see. We're clearly going to do this. That's fine. So shall we get our mates out and see who's got the best list?
Well, I've told you offline before that I was out with a friend of mine who's in a band with you. He's been working in telly for years, and we talk about now who's the most famous person we've got on our address book on our phone. And I won't go into it. And my mate had someone else. I've got my phone as well. And he went, Morgan Freeman. Yeah, you've won that.
I'm not having that. That can't be.
No, it is true. It is absolutely true. Yeah, I've seen pictures. Yeah.
Wow. But okay, I at some stage I'm going to need the full context as to why, and I'm also going to need to hear stories there, because that sounds very, very interesting indeed. Cam, what have you got for us to start? First of all, how are you doing, friend?
Good, thanks. It's great to have Lisa Maria on, who you called a pleb for no justification for that all time. No justification.
Oh my gosh.
You know, she's not even on the budget, and you're hurling abuse at her. Save that for me, please. All right? Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Thanks, Cam. You're such a gentleman.
Oh my God! Don't encourage him.
Hey, we have similar son-in-law, daughter-in-law, sister-in-law, mother-in-law stories. So we're connected now. So that's the end of that. Yeah, cool. Right, I've got two little quick. One's a quote, one's a silly dad joke. So the quote first: I wasn't ready to manage straight away. You have a few players who stopped to manage the first team straight away and were successful, and then there are others ones who take different pathways. And I think that was, what was important for me was to understand what I really wanted to do. That's the quote.
Now, listen, it's normally got some connection to something that's coming up. So I have an idea. Does anyone want to guess before I guess?
I'm definitely guessing Vieira.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with Vieira.
That was
my guess as well.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do something different next week. Yeah, that was Patrick Vieira. So talking about going into football management. And my dad joke. I was parked on double yellow lines and a traffic warden came up to me, gave me a ticket, and it was Man City versus Southampton.
No, God. Although I have to say I'm very fond of the sentiment. We are actually going to talk about that topic later on if we can. I would like to tease that one out a little bit because it's quite a fascinating one. Lisa Marie, what's your opening quote for us?
If you try to follow everyone else and be like everyone else, before you know it, you're gone. You're not going to find yourself again. You'll just be a version of what you might have hoped to have been. And that's from Dolly Parton, the Queen of Tennessee, in my opinion, which is, of course, where I'm from.
I saw a picture of Dolly today on my Twitter feed. In a graduation cap and gown, and she basically it was her tweet, and she was saying, "But this is what I look like when I win an argument or something like that." Has she received some sort of honorary award or something of late?
I know she has received an honorary degree from the University of Tennessee, but I don't. I didn't think that was recent. I thought that had happened a couple of years ago. So she may have picked up another one. Yeah, she's very well known for her philanthropy work. She donated like $1 million toward the Moderna vaccine, and she's who I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah, she's who I want to be when I grow up as well. And can I ask you to, just for the sake of people who are listening, this will be the first time they've heard you speak with us, and hopefully it'll be far from the last, because like I said a couple of weeks ago, we're hoping to introduce these new voices to the show on a regular basis, and hopefully you'll be back for more, at least Marie, after this one. But just so folks get an idea of where it is that you are and what it is for you to be a Liverpool fan, because, you know, when we speak, I'm always fascinated, and I'm always very impressed by people who are in completely different time zones and what that means for them in terms of being a fan. So, I mean, maybe just first of all, tell us where you are and what does match day mean for you?
So I live about 20 miles south of Nashville, Tennessee, okay, in a town called Franklin, and was not born here, but was raised here and went off to college and came back. Match day generally means early, you know, having to fit watching the match in between other, you know, weekend activities, you know, and when they play that early game, that means, you know, it's on at 6:30 in the morning here. So I have often watched the match with a cup of coffee versus, you know, maybe some other beverage. And, you know, and it used to be, yeah, I would, you know, when I get my kids' schedules, when they were all playing, we call it soccer here, when they were all playing soccer, I'd be like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to catch the Liverpool game there. Oh, good. That works. Okay. So yeah, that's very much me. I very much try to schedule my weekend activities around the Liverpool match.
Yeah, what's always amazing, again, as well, for people over this part of the world and in England, Scotland, Wales, is the fact that you guys have far more ready access to the matches, don't you, really, through all those various ESPN channels than we actually do at times. I mean, you can pretty much watch any game you want, right?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, very rarely is the match not televised over here. Now, to be fair, yeah, I am a more recent Liverpool fan. I've really only been a fan for the last few years. So, you know, I didn't grow up, you know, trying to find the televised games. It's been something that we've kind of taken on, my husband and I, in the last couple of years. But yeah, there's almost always the matches televised here.
And are there any good bargains to be had at the Williamson Square shopping centre there?
You know, probably.
What's the traffic like on the Royal Oak Boulevard these days?
Oh my God!
I actually live a little further south than that. If you've got the map up there, Carl,
map? Actually, how dare you?
Well, I apologize.
Near West Harpeth, that sort of area.
Yes, yes. Actually, the West Harpeth is about, I can almost throw a rock from my house and hit it.
Yeah, it's near Retake 40. I know it, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lovely countryside, you know, very, very, very rolling hills. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It gives you good access to Pinfield as well, and, you know, Arrington and Almaville, those sort of places.
Absolutely. Arrington Vineyards is fantastic.
Yeah. Carry on, Trev.
I really wish you wouldn't encourage him like this, Liz Marie. I mean, it's bad enough allowing Branch away with that absolute, scandalously awful comment earlier on. But anyway, look, these boys will be trying to push around the edges, so fair play to them. Who's putting up the photograph of Robbie Fowler in the chat here? Who's placed that one there?
Yeah, just for mention that. Just put it in the chat. You know, me and my mate Robbie. Somebody gets tweets, but, you know, I just thought I'd put some photo evidence.
Again, Cam, good article. Just thought I'd...
Well, maybe Robbie, after I'd had words with him, you know, I thought, do the nice thing, Rob. Can you just do a little retweet? So,
and did right. you...
Just
did
looking you, out for my mates, you know, just...
Did you actually have a chat with Robbie on the evening this was taken, or a day this was taken?
This was a Five Times event about five years ago. And this was the first time I actually met Gags, Harinda, Nina, Enzo, and here we are today. So
really? I just assumed that you guys went back further than AI.
I thought that as well.
No. I started talking to Gags online through Twitter, And then first time I actually spoke to him, he tried to do like a live match commentary sort of thing, and it was a Liverpool United game.
That was an idea back in the day, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and we were 3-0 up at half time. So I can't, it was a, I think it was at Old Trafford. There you go. So, I went on half time and just said, well, I just think, you know, this is the easiest game Liverpool have ever had at Old Trafford. You know, the Man United are absolutely awful. Wasn't that we were brilliant or anything like that. I just felt Man United were really, really poor and Liverpool completely exploited them that first half. So, Gags didn't really like that much. He felt, you know, no, it was Liverpool were brilliant, and that was the start of a beautiful relationship.
I was going to say, a nice beginning for you in terms of Discord. That's great. We should get cracking on with some topics because we have lots to get through. And I'm bearing in mind as well, Carl, that you have some specific questions for Cam, which are culinary in nature. But we'll come to that towards the end of the show. But let's just get into a little bit of football first, because, look, if we're being honest, this is absolutely the best part about what we do. This is the best time to be red, which is able to watch these matches, you know, these high class matches, high quality matches, one after the other. You wouldn't think it necessarily when you find yourself mired in the online existence, but I think everyone can understand that it's probably wise to extricate yourself from that when it gets silly. But we've had a couple of great wins back to back. And what really struck me was a pointed contrast during the week. And the contrast was between, I think, possibly my favorite Kloppo thing, which is where he goes to the cop end at the end of a match and he does his fist pump, his three fist pumps, which are responded to by the crowd. Frankly, I love that. It's one of my favorite things about this era. It's a real connection. I don't think it's bullshit at all. And I think it's like the logical conclusion of what he tried to do way back at the start when he was getting all the lads walking down, they're holding hands with each other, and that didn't quite work. I think this is it now. That's the absolute sign of that connection. Not 24 hours later, you had a situation where you had Pep Guardiola basically asking his, it wasn't 24 hours, it was around the same time, he was asking his fans to show up and come to the stadium to see the champions, who are, you know, nominally the best squad in the country, if not in the continent, play their football. And I was struck by images of Jack Grealish doing a sliding celebration in front of vast swathes of blue empty seats, basically. So, Lisa Marie, you said you're comparatively new to the game, but this must be something that really strikes you as something really interesting to see the contrast between the cultures of two clubs. One club, both old, venerable clubs, one of which, though, has been reinvented and now just seems to have a lack of soul. I mean, what does it look like to you from afar?
Yeah, I would agree. I, you know, of course, I've never been to Anfield, although I have seen them play here in the U.S. In preseason. Actually, I have seen Man City and Tottenham play here in Nashville preseason in 2017. But anyway, but you can feel it through the TV, you know, the atmosphere and everything at Anfield. I mean, there are times where I think it was the first game of the season, you know, the Bobby Firmino song was coming so clear through the coverage and everything that it was stuck in my head for 2 days. You know, and it does, it astounds me as, and it's been something I think I've become more aware of here more recently. That is, you know, you think, oh, Man City, they won everything here recently. You would think their stadium would be packed. People would be, you know, hungry for tickets. And it astounds me that there's empty seats in that place. I don't understand.
It's so strange. And Cam, you teed this up with your wee dad joke earlier on. And it's good to poke fun and we should absolutely do so. But I can tell you that I spoke to a lifelong City fan my good pal this morning, and he said he was furious with Guardiola, furious. And I've seen the spokespeople for two different City fan groups expressing very similar sentiments, Cam, that, you know, just please manage the team and stop talking about us. Because I'm going to throw this out and see what you make of it, Cam. It's a theory I heard expounded by someone that the empty seats, we're talking about an old club, a venerable club, a club that surely would be able to drum up support. The empty seats, according to this theory, are from, you know, they've been bought up by some of our city owners' rich pals, just to keep these season tickets bought. And I don't know. It's strange. It's a little bit of a conspiracy theory. I don't know. Can you explain why that place isn't packed to the rafters, Cam? It doesn't make any sense to me, because I used to love that club when they were, you know, before they were what they are now. You know, like I say, love. I always had a fondness for them, and they always had hugely loyal fans. You know, maybe a bit fatalistic, but loyal. What's going on?
That's the $64 million question. What is going on? I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, I've been twice to Main Road and once to the Etihad, and I went to the Etihad before it was expanded. And both the Main Road games and the game at the Etihad, it was a full house, not an empty seat to be seen. We won all three games, by the way. It was all three games were against Liverpool, so I'll just put it out there. So maybe I should go there more often. It's a strange one. Either they're pricing fans out, and City fans genuinely, you know, with the current climate, just cannot afford to go. Although this has been a running joke for about 2 years now, hasn't it? Being, you know, everyone calls it the empty head.
Yeah.
So it's from the looks of it, they're not as well a supported club as everybody thought they were. You can only go by what you see. You can subscribe to any conspiracy theory you like. Why would Pep be saying this for people to come to the game? And that must mean that tickets are available. He wouldn't say it otherwise. So if you can't sell season seat tickets to people you don't know, you can only send that, you know. Like Liverpool, you have to be on the friends and family list if you want to transfer a ticket over. And even that's changing now with all this new NFC business. So the mind boggles. They're obviously, you know, you go across the Salford, they get 76,000 every week as a game on, you know, a Champions League game or a league game. They're consistently over 60,000, 70,000. Man City have a 55,000 seat stadium, and they're getting 43,000, 44,000, 45,000, 48,000. They're just not a big club.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You see, Carl, I'm going to give you the final word on this, because I find myself being very circumspect here, because City kind of are a big club in terms of heritage, in terms of being a venerable institution for years. And I always liked their fans, because, like I say, they were fatalistic and they had this sort of sense of, like, you know,
typical City was the first time, wasn't it?
Yeah, typical City. They had this sense of good things may happen, but bad things will always follow. That kind of thing. They had this sort of fatalism about them that you couldn't help but endear you to them. And there cannot but be several tens of thousands of fans who would happily be in that stadium, you would think. And yet they are not. And I just put a picture in the chat there of that Jack Grealish slide celebration. And behind them is just an empty stand almost, or certainly a chunk of a stand that's empty. I just don't understand what's happening there, because Cam said about pricing, people being priced out, but there's also, you know, there are plenty of people with money. So I don't really, I'm not sure I can fully buy into that as an explanation either. What do you think's happening there?
I think there's many, many different reasons to why this is. And to be honest, I'm going to say this straight away. I'm fine with them not being able to sell out their grounds, because it shows more than anything else that the people who go to their games, people always talk about the empty seats, but I'm more interested in the people that go to the games. And my position is always the same on this, Trevor, as you know, is I'm always fan first. And I don't like anyone who criticizes people who go to football games. I just don't like that, you know, because they're going out and they're doing it. I think that there's tons of reasons. Firstly, the initial Man City base, which I think is probably still the same base, we're good fun. You know, they're Manx. We don't like them. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. But, you know, there was an element of, you know, we hate United too. So we sort of got on. Obviously, we battered them a lot in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And, but I think a lot of it, probably is businessmen taking seats and not going because he wants to go to Southampton. I think what Pep's got wrong there more than anything else is the fact that he sees football in Manchester the same way he sees it in Barcelona, whereas you're always going to get the casual viewer rather than someone who's going to, you know, schlep all the way over there. And the other reason, and it's a pretty big one, is Man United. Man United have always got the numbers. Man United always travel, much as I, you know, dislike them. They always travel. City travel too. Their away attendance at City are pretty good, to be honest. I think there's a mixture of pricing going on. I think it's the ground's too big for the club, which I don't see as a negative thing, to be honest, because, you know, if Liverpool went up to an 800,000 seater stadium, it'd look crap, you know. But in terms of heritage, you know, they've certainly got the heritage. There's no question of that at all. I think it's a shame in some ways because I like clubs. Like, you know, I was in Leeds on Sunday. And I was saying to my mates before we went, I was like, I like Leeds. I like the history of Leeds. I like what they've done. And, you know, in the past, and they're great players. When it came out, I felt slightly different, shall we say. Keep going down, boys. Keep going down. But I think with City, it is a mixture of, I think they bought the wrong club. If they wanted to turn into a Madrid or a Barca or a PSG, I think they bought the wrong club because it's not that sort of fan base. And, yeah, you know, you're always going to get, you know, your new fans if they're doing well. And, you know, that's probably happened. But they either can't afford to go in or they're not asked because, you know, they just rather sort of see the results and say, yeah, we won 5-0 again, rather than have the sort of, you know, the big intense fan base like we in United do. And City, as I say, City are intense. They really are. They always travel. But I don't think there's a case of that anymore. I think it's more of a cinema club, which I think is a shame. And those remarks by Guardiola just said to me, again, it's just the man who knows football, doesn't know the culture of the game. That's what that says to me.
Yeah, apparently he's come out and clarified it or made it even more confusing today with several other things you said. I'm glad you touched on that Leeds thing as well, because I didn't want to throw it out there. I think I said it on Raw, but for people who aren't subscribers to Anfield Index Pro, then they mightn't have heard this. And I do want it on record that I have an awful lot of admiration for that club too. But and I know several Leeds fans who are nice people, and I like talking to them about football. So as a result, I didn't react the way I wanted to on my Twitter feed immediately afterwards, but I was fucking fuming after that match with that crowd. They really pissed me off. They have a sort of a snideness to them, and there's also a sort of an emptiness to that kind of support that I can't get behind. Shouting people down when they're singing songs, coming out with all sorts of absolute bile and nastiness. So I just wanted it to be out there because I don't think that it can't be representative of the general fan base. But wow, there is a loud, plentiful element in that crowd that are deeply unpleasant. You were there for that, Carl, weren't you?
Yeah, well, can we talk about match? I'm more angry at Match of the Day.
And go on, then.
This is a huge problem. So Match of the Day, they said, and isn't that nice to see the lead supporters applauding Harvey Elliott off? And it was a throwaway line, and the context of that was basically, look, aren't Leeds good? Aren't they solid football supporters?
Yeah.
And they did. And, you know, I'm not going to dispute that, but they were vile. Absolutely vile throughout that game. Hillsborough Songs, no place for them in the game. And again, me and my mate Robbie Fowler agree on this. he said again those words, good article, was because I
fuck.
And so we do it as well. Jason McAtee didn't comment actually, but we do it as well. Like you know the Rainbow song and stuff like that, and you know, and Liverpool fans, by no means all, but you know, the Galatasaray songs were coming out. They were more individual shouts rather than, so they definitely weren't songs. They were individual shouts. People showing Turkish flags to the Leeds fans because that dates back to 2010 when two Leeds fans were killed in Istanbul on the debut of the UEFA Cup semi-final. Sorry, and I just thought I don't know why how you can be offended by Hillsborough songs, which I certainly was, and then think, okay, well, let's just go as low as they can, and then say, yeah, but they were a disgrace. You can't do that. So I was sort of good article. That Robbie really enjoyed. I do have books for sale on Amazon.com. I just thought it was horrible. It was horrible. And I hope they get relegated. But I still like the history of the club. And I like the people who really genuinely like football in Leeds. I really like that. But that was just, if to be honest, I wasn't upset or anything like that. It was just, fuck off. That was my attitude to them. And it still is.
Mine too, I have to say. I want it out there. That Carl Kopak, ladies and gentlemen, making a very valid point, was simultaneously prostituting himself in front of the audience. A beautiful, beautiful balancing
three
act. Looking forward, unless there's something very, very specific that anyone else wants to jump in with on what we've spoken about there.
The next game is against Crystal Palace, and the lead character of my first novel is a Crystal Palace fan. So,
well, fucking hell, it's not actually a bad segue, because that's where I wanted to go next. I wanted to look at the
I'm happy to do them all day, Trev. Don't worry about that.
I know. So I mean. With the Palace game coming up the weekend, there is one sort of outstanding question that's sort of in my head, because, like I say, I've been really, really enjoying this, watching really good teams go out, watching solid benches, feeling like, you know, we can pretty much, it doesn't matter who we go up against, we have the beating of every team, and it just feels good at the moment. And so you're kind of eager to see all these players contribute. And we've seen virtually everybody now, except, and Cam, I'll start with you on this one, except Mr. Kanate. And I would think that with the history that we've had with, or that Joel's had with injury, and he's been bloody superb since the start of the season, that it might be his turn to take a step out like Virgil did against AC Milan. And if that is the case, are we going to get a chance to see our new boy alongside Virgil? Because I know if I wanted to make my debut, I think I'd like the big security blanket that is Virgil van Dijk beside me. I mean, would you be hopeful, or is that something you're even thinking about getting a look at Kanate in action against Palace at the weekend?
Play strongest available 11. And I think strongest available 11 right now would be Virgil and John Matip. If it's not Joel Matip, then it will be Joe Gomez. I think Kanate's fourth. I think if we're going to see Kanate, it will be against Norwich away next week in the League Cup.
I think that's nailed on, Cam, to be honest. I think that's the first name on the team sheet.
So that would
see, be... So hang on. Play your best 11, though, Cam. Play your best 11 means you don't rest Virgil van Dijk against AC Milan. That's hardly a gimme. That's hardly a throwaway match.
No, best available 11, I said.
But he was available.
How do you know? Just because he was on the bench. Of course he did. Sorry.
He read one of Trev's articles from years ago when Trev used to write.
He told me because I happen to know he was fit. So what I'm saying is I'm not sure that's necessarily the policy.
He may well have been fit, but he was not available to start. Okay, because of the minutes he's already played after coming back from injury.
What the fuck is this inception? Whoa, 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 whoa!
No, 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 no! It is what it is, Trev. At the end of the day, we got to look at the sports science of this. Yes.
Are you going to start quoting chronic load at me now? Is that what you're going to do?
Well, if you want to go there.
No, I really don't.
At the end of the day, you've got to manage the minutes as well of players who have come back from injury. I could see this weekend it being Virgil and Joe Gomez, because again, you can start building up the minutes of Joe Gomez. You can give Joel Matip a break this weekend now, because he's played every game so far. And he's come back from an injury as well. So we've got four centre-backs there now. They're four excellent centre-backs. Arguably two, are world-class centre-backs.
How do you know?
How do I know what?
How do you know that we've got four excellent centre-backs? We haven't seen Canale yet. We don't know what he can do.
I've seen him.
You've seen him.
He told me he was excellent. That's all
he
I knew.
He told you he was excellent. All right.
I was having a chat with Jürgen the other day, and
I grow weary with your nonsense, Cam.
I'm a world class centre back too, because I said so.
Yeah, you told me you were a world class centre back, Cam. So therefore, you are. Lise Murray, for the third time, I'm trying to get to Lise Murray here. they're unbelievable. It's gibber. Can I ask you? I mean, look, we have our only signing sitting there in the bench. Cam is convinced because the lad told him that he's world class. Now, I'd like to see the fella play. And I understand that Cam's saying we've got that game against Norwich, which is, you know, we did hear Kloppo saying he's going to take the cups a bit more seriously this year, whether that's just lip service, because Klopp does a lot of bullshit to the press. He really does. He sells them a line of shite a lot. But do you think there's any chance of us seeing it? I mean, is this too big of a game, as in a league match, to throw him in? I mean, what do you reckon? I'm just really eager to see him play.
I don't know that he'll start, but I think if the game is going well, he might come in.
I think he might get 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like that compromise. I could take that. I could live with that.
If he comes in and he gets, you know, 15, 20 minutes maybe, and then, yeah, I do think he'll play the Norwich game.
He definitely will. In the cauldron that is Carroll Road, I think you'll... I think we'll be seeing him there.
Yeah, but you see, again, Klopp has said that's, you know, he was rolling his eyes and saying, look, another easy draw for us in the first round of the cup away against the Premier League side. I mean, there's nothing easy about that. And Norwich will see it as a potential route possibly to doing something this season. So I think they'll probably take it quite seriously. They don't really have a whole lot of depth in the squad anyway.
You need the inside track from the local man in Norwich.
Tell us the Norfolk word on the street.
Yes, man on the street. Let us know.
This is where finally, my hours of research in the pub the other day really comes into its own. the talk basically is that they're not, Norwich can't afford to take it seriously because they haven't won a game, they haven't got a point yet, and that they're very probably just going to go, do you know what, have a bye. Doesn't really matter. And to be honest, and Trevor, I get what you're saying, but I think we should also remember that Canate did cost 35 million quid. It's not me and you out there, is it?
I don't know where you're going with this. I do a fine job, but yeah, okay, yeah. It's exactly. But you know, yeah, it was closer to 40, wasn't it? So I mean, there's a I have a level of impatience about me to see what this lad can do. Yeah. I don't fully buy into this player strongest 11 thing because the Cam was saying. It's kind of contradictory to say that and say you're going to manage minutes. You're either doing one or the other. So it is what it is. I said at this point that what I do is whatever, if there is a specific Liverpool related story you guys want to throw mix. Like I always say every week, far be it from us to stick rigidly to any sort of agenda. We do have a couple of places to go that are non-football at the end, which I'm going to insist upon. But just before we finish with the footy, is there anything that anybody wanted to bring up? Floor is literally open. And if not, I'll go around and just double check.
Well, at some point, I want to ask Lisa Marie her opinion on the moon landings.
Oh, hey, wait, hey, Liverpool related.
Okay.
Do not bring moon stuff into it without this. My God, there's a show in that. So.
I can't wait for your TV program on this, Trev.
Oh, it's coming, man. It's coming.
True life. True life with Trev Downey.
I've shot half of it, but there's a rumor that there was actually Stanley Kubrick who shot it. But anyway, yep. Getting back to the
truth to power with Trev Downey.
They're all lying to you.
Let's Trev. Talk 9/11.
Well, listen, again, there's a show on that. Cam, give us a football related topic before this goes off the fucking rails.
No, my mind one would have been what we've already covered, the Man City stuff. So, you know, that's hence the dad joke sort of led into that.
Nice. Lisa Marie, anything you wanted to bring up? Because I obviously got to give you your opportunity if there's something you want to specifically talk about.
I just want to say that I think Joe Gomez deserves a little love and shout out for coming back and playing the full 90 minutes the other night. You know, I mean, we sort of celebrated with parades and whatever, Virgil coming back, and don't get me wrong, I'm very, very happy that he's back. But I think from my understanding is Joe's injury was much, much worse than Virgil. Yeah. And to see that kid back, I mean, no, maybe not his best game, but he played the full 90 and, you know, had a relatively good game. So I just think Joe deserves a shout out.
I think that's really, I'm glad you did that, because I was aware doing post-match Raw afterwards that, you know, we had to analyze how the goals went in, and you find yourself drawing attention to the fact that Virgil's not there and blah, blah, blah. And obviously Joel has been fantastic. So almost by process of elimination, it looks as if someone's pointing a finger a little bit at Joe Gomez. But I agree with you entirely. It's just, listen, we know how good that kid is. And there was a time when he was playing better in an all-conquering Liverpool team than Virgil was. He was in better form, possibly being more effective in matches. And I just think, yeah, you're exactly right to draw attention to that. And look, it's an embarrassment of riches. If that guy can get back to anything like what he was at his very, very peak, and that was a very competent display for sure. We heard before the match, Carl, just to lean into this thing with Joe Gomez a little bit, about a technical thing that they've been working on in the training ground with Joe pinging these diagonal balls in the same way that Virgil does. It's sort of really, really interesting technical thing. It's a real weapon in our arsenal, because we've got these incredibly nippy guys who like to run from outside in and pick up these positions, running in behind defenders, and the right ball delivered can land at feet, and you know you've got an opportunity. We've seen Virgil do that endless times, and it's interesting. I've always rated Joe Gomez with his passing as well. He can play a ball really well in defeat. So there's two things I want to talk about before we move away from Liverpool. First, give me your Joe Gomez take, and second, how good is it, and this is a separate thing, to watch Joel Matip do his playmaker thing, wandering about in the opposition box with supreme confidence and laying off little passes? These are two wonderful things to think about.
Cam, the new girl's talking about football after half an hour. What do we do?
We leave.
This is new ground for us. People just start realising that we're only in it for the what's your favourite type of biscuits talk.
See, this was not communicated to me. I apologize.
You're going to be not in the memo group. That's why. Oh God, no football talk after 20 minutes. Joe Gomez, yeah, he's fantastic. Of course he is. Once I know I say it every single time he comes up, but my favorite thing about Joe Gomez is that his middle name is Dave, not David. Really like that. He's got he's the last person you'd want to argue with in a nightclub. The stare that man has got is frightening. even when he's happy, he looks like he's about to tear you to pieces. So, like, he's very good, Joe. I think one of the reasons we haven't seen him quite so much is when the Davis injury, I got a pretty good source who said, look, it makes Virgil's look like a loose toenail. It's a really, really, really bad one. I mean, it's horrific. I mean, Virgil's wasn't nice, obviously, but I think that might be an element of that. And it's good to see him get a start. I've still got a feeling we're going to see him more at fullback than centre half this year, just to give Trent a rest occasionally, because if we do sell Nico, because obviously he wants to go. I think that's going to be part of it. But as for Joel Matip, I'm really lucky. I've been to all four league games this season, and there's always a moment when Joe goes up the field. And there's a mutual friend of ours, Trev, who said once that when a centre half breaks free and goes up the pitch, it's akin to a horse running through a council estate. No one's got a clue what to do. No one has the first idea. Yeah. How do you defend that? And what he did for that first goal in Leeds, we were singing his name more than most in the John Charles stand. And it was, I think he's just a glorious footballer. I love the fact that I think it was Chelsea where he gave a free kick away, like literally about 3 minutes into the game. And he's so angry, if you look it up, that he's just screaming at himself with his arms flailing all over the place. And I love the fact that Virgil absolutely, I know Joe Gomez is his best mate, obviously, but he absolutely loves Joel Matip. And I'm so pleased he's a Liverpool player. He's a hell of a player. It's just whether you can keep him fit or not.
Yeah, well, long may it last, because it is wonderful. I know I'm obviously anxious to see our new boy, but when these guys that we've already seen are doing what they're doing, it's just beautiful to be part of it. And, you know, man, that's quite a sentence you just said there. After the year and a half that people have had to endure, to be able to say that you've been at four league games in a row.
Yeah, I'm not going to Palace. I can't. I'm going to a gig on tomorrow night, so I can't go. But
it's a beautiful thing, right? It's a beautiful thing to be back at the game.
Really missed it.
You know, with your mates and all the rest of it. And like I say, I've been enjoying it vicariously. Now, can I just speak a little bit out of school here for the benefit of listeners? Because when Carl threw the biscuit comment in, as you know, listeners, because he's quite often on the mic with us, producer Guy Drinkle is literally overseeing all with his knob twiddling in the background. And he has put a little grenade into the chat box here saying that the correct biscuit answer is custard cream for the best biscuit. And of course, then Cam comes in with Jaffa cake. And Guy has said that's a cake. Now, I've had this conversation in this podcast before, and I refuse to go here again. You need to sort out this topic, and we're going to have a definitive conversation about it some other time. But I am interested, and we got
to get... It hardens. A cake is something that hardens, and a biscuit softens.
And wow.
A cake hardens.
So there you go. That's science. Carl Kopic there. The
and I know you're a big fan of science, obviously, as well, Trev.
Carl Kopic, the Anthony Fauci of biscuits. has spoken. Biscuits, and I do like as well the way you emphasize the tea. Biscuits soften. That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Shortbread doesn't soften. That's shortbread, isn't it? Not biscuit, is it? Yeah. Although you find it on the biscuit aisle. Same as Jaffa cakes. Quite confusing, really, isn't it?
Do you know what I would do next time, Cam, is I would work out these thoughts in my head before you say them.
Oh, I'm just thinking of where you find them in the supermarket.
Oh, my God.
It's a tax.
I have a specific question for all three of you.
That. Sorry, Drink was put in the chat. The shortbread is bread.
It is bread. He's right.
Okay.
I have a specific question for all three of you. Now you can interpret this the verb here, whichever way you like. I don't want to be too prescriptive. So the question is this: what is the single best thing that you've ever made? So you had warning, you knew it was coming up. So none of your, I haven't thought about this from Brainchy that we always get. But just in case Brainchy's about to do as usual. Oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to. We'll go to him last. So screw
you.
He's
on you tonight, Cam, isn't he?
He's what?
He's on you tonight. Jesus.
Yeah, he absolutely deserves it. He's been he's tried to stitch me up right from the start. Stitch me up, that horrendous effort at a stitch up at Lise Marie right at the start.
I'm just having some wine.
Oh, you asshole. Anyway,
cold water.
Carl, best thing you've ever made off the top of your head. Go for it.
I'm afraid we're going to sing from the same hymn sheet again. I've written three books, Trev.
Oh, Christ.
But it probably is. Yeah, and I've written two novels. So both very competitively priced on Amazon. And it is, yeah. You know, it is though, because I have created the world at just $2.99 each. And I was in a band, so like, you know, I really have created sweet, sweet music. But I'm not.
Okay. I'm gonna need you to stop being such a shill for your own produce, and actually pick your favorite child. Which book? Come on.
Would you go character based or plot based? It depends on what you want, really.
Oh my God, he's now going to tell us what's good about both of them.
I've been doing this for a long time, Trevor Downey. A long time. As I said on one of my podcasts, I said on my Sherlock pod, which is available currently on Rippercast. I really will stop doing it now. I like the second book because it's got more plot, I think, but I'm deeply, deeply proud of the first one. But yeah, I mean, that genuinely is the answer, because it is sort of like, you know, you've created a world, and the best thing about it is I'm still not entirely sure how it's happened, but I read it and think, I do generally think, you know, bloody hell, that sort of, that reads like someone knows what you're talking about, and I clearly didn't. So that's quite a nice thing.
It's got to be. Yeah. And perfectly understandable and valid reluctance to choose between them. I like that. So I suppose if you created a book, that most people would go with that as their option. Lisa Marie, best thing you've ever made? I have a feeling, I think I know where you're going to go with this. I think you're going to have an angle on this. Go on.
Uh-oh, I'm not sure. I'm a pretty good cook.
Okay.
So I have, did you think I was going to be like, well, I've given birth to three children, and
I
just can't pick between them.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. I absolutely did. And you know what, Lisa Marie, if you had gone there, it would have absolutely ruined Carl Kopak's effort completely. But go ahead.
You should have let me know that. I have three children, but whatever. I try not to choose between them, so yeah, couldn't pick a favorite. What I tell them is it depends on the day who's my favorite. They're ranked, you know, accordingly. Nice. Yeah, and they know it too. They'll even ask. So does this, you know, put me in first place? But no, I'm a pretty pretty good cook, and I liked to do that. But I also crochet, and I've made numerous scarves and baby blankets and things like that. So I think the last blanket that I crocheted when my niece was born is probably the one I'm most proud of. So there you go.
Is there any way you can supply some photographic evidence in the chat group there so we can actually see this?
Oh, not easily. Okay. I will send it to you.
I do
have an Instagram account. Yes, I can put it on the Instagram if you want me to.
Because what we want to do here, obviously, as you know, the hypercritical crochet fans that we are, we'd like to express our opinion on whether it is actually up to scratch, you know, because obviously we know lots about that. Okay, I love that answer. Another person being creative and making something and putting some value into the world. Cam Branch, what have you made that you're most proud of?
Well, obviously being the father of four children.
Here we go.
I can't really take any credit for that, can I? Although I did put in the legwork, I will say that. I make a really mean Spanish omelette, but I think you all know that already. I'm really proud of the lattes I do now as well. But my proudest achievement, I don't know whether you can count it as something made. I was about, how old would I have been? 17 stroke 18. I'd just got my first car, and it was a Ford Cortina 1.6L, and it was beige with a brown vinyl roof, classic Ford, and Mark III, for those of you interested. And the alternator had packed up on it. So I went down to the old scrapyard, got a reconditioned alternator, jacked the car up with a tire jack, got underneath with like pliers and wrenches that didn't really fit, and using the old Hayes manual, I replaced the alternator on this car.
I think that's the best.
I'm genuinely impressed. Yeah, I'm genuinely impressed. Yeah, that's nice. That's a nice moment of creativity.
Yeah, bearing in mind, I was absolutely convinced you were going to go about your muesli milkshakes.
Yeah, the muesli milkshakes are certainly a unique contribution to the world.
I don't know where that's come from. I'm not sure about muesli milkshakes.
You told us about it, Matt.
That was the wine talking.
Yeah, well, we do know you like to get a bit sozzled when you're on the show here. Okay, that's gone really well. I'm really happy with the contributions there from everybody.
You've given plant life, haven't you?
I have created actual worlds. Yes, I mean I know
literally worlds, I've created actual literally worlds. Which,
yeah, actual worlds. Yeah, it's gone to my head. I'm thinking of calling myself the creator with a K. That's basically where I'm at. I've got the fucking answer. I went down to the Polytunnel last week and I got my tomatoes, my onions, and my chilies, and I made salsa, which is one of my favorite things to eat. And it's not bad, lads. It's not bad. So that would be my little contribution to the question. And that leaves us getting very close to signing out. But I do want a television recommendation from everyone before we go and get your final little contributions. Now, this is, of course, equal opportunities. So Lisa Marie, we know that you're probably looking at obviously different TV channels and everything, but we all share and dip into similar Netflix ponds, so we should pretty much have some crossover, I would imagine, and one way or the other everyone can source stuff these days. So can I actually start with you on this one? Any specific television recommendation for people who are looking maybe to take a break from the stress?
I've been, and this is one I've watched before, but I've kind of gone back and been rewatching. It's The Newsroom. And it's on Max. HBO, yeah, HBO Max, and it's another, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a complete blank on his name, Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know.
It's in my top five newsroom.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love anything that Aaron Sorkin does. I mean, you know, West Wing, of course, and all of that. So that's one. And then I look forward each week to the new Ted Lasso episode dropping on Apple TV. I'm a huge, huge fan of that show. So, and maybe just a little bit in love with Roy Kent. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I somehow doubt you're alone there. I wondered what the peculiar feeling I was getting was, and then I realized, oh no, maybe I'm falling for Roy Kent. But he is a particularly good, well-drawn character. Can I tell you as well, my Apple thing, I had like a, I don't know, it was some sort of trial subscription when I bought the little Apple TV. I received the Apple TV box, and I was able to watch away, and then it ran out. Now they're looking for a subscription. So I'm only two episodes into Ted Lasso, and I'm not sure. But in the second series, I mean. I would absolutely, if you can, Carl, it's got a soul, that TV show. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
But the other thing on Apple, which I did really enjoy, was The Morning Show. Have any of you guys seen that?
Yeah, I've seen, it's only one, one series so far, isn't it?
One series of 10
I think
episodes.
The second series has started, though. I think
it's coming out because,
recently. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Jennifer Aniston is doing the rounds promoting it, so I would actually recommend the first series of that is excellent. But again, it's one of those exclusive to Apple things. I'm not sure if you can get it anywhere else or see it anywhere else or source it anywhere else. But okay, I like this. We're on a roll here so far. Carl, TV rec.
Well, thanks, Lisa Marie. Because I was going to say Ted Lasso because I've only seen one episode. I watched the there's a new 9/11 to Trev. There's a new 9/11 series on Netflix called
Turning Point. Yeah,
yeah, which is very good, really, really good. That's because it examines America's view of it all, and basically the as I said on Twitter, the campaign of let's bomb everyone in revenge aspect of what they did afterwards, and that's very, very interesting. And there's things I didn't know. I mean, I know a lot about the actual day itself, and you know. But that was very, very interesting indeed.
Nice. I like it. Plenty of variety so far. Cam, what have you got for us?
New Amsterdam. That was on Sky Atlantic here in the UK. Not sure which network it is. It's an American...
yeah, it's on NBC in the US.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it's Grey's Anatomy without Meredith Grey, so it's a lot better. because she really annoys me. Billionaires is about to start again, or Billionaire, or whatever it's called. Is it Billionaire? Is it Billionaire?
Billions.
Sorry. So that's about to start up again soon. That's really good. That's definitely worth a watch. And on Netflix, series 3 of Sex Education is about to start, and that is hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious. It is really, really good.
Is it? Because I saw a preview for it the other day, and I thought this looks funny. I might have to check that one out. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. Yeah,
brilliant. It's got Gillian as well, so that's good.
Well, there you go.
There you go. It's a win-win scenario. I haven't watched anything good lately. Most of the things I've watched lately have been on Netflix. And for my money, Netflix is full of absolute crap at the moment. And most of the Netflix made stuff is crap. I mean, it's high end. Its production values are wonderful, but it's utterly rubbish. I can't. Yes.
Read the chat. Yeah.
Oh my God. What have we done now? Oh, Bake Off is back. Oh my God. Guy Drinkle wants us all to watch Bake Off, which is back on Tuesday. I don't watch that show either, so I can't recommend it. But what I will say is, for the Sopranos fans amongst us, and I know we've got one obsessive and one fan. I'm not sure where Lisa Marie stands on the Sopranos. But there is this new movie coming out, which you'd have to be curious about, called The Many Saints of Newark. I think it's coming out within a matter of weeks. And I am really, really curious to see what that's going to be like, because I've seen the trailer and the guy's got his Gandolfini voice down anyway.
Yeah.
The kid who's playing young Tony. So I'm curious, I have to say. I have my worries, because how do you ever Gandolfini if you're not Gandolfini? But still, I'm curious.
But he is, isn't he? The kid is Gandolfini.
I think it's his son.
His son's in it.
I want to say I remember reading something about that.
Yeah, but you see where I'm going with that? Do you know what I mean? Like it's that man was such a one.
Oh yeah, he was fantastic.
Talent. Yeah, no, I'm really hopeful. I'm really hopeful. So I would say that would be my recommendation for more of a curiosity, and I can't stand behind it because I haven't seen it yet. But looking forward to it. We should start wrapping things up, guys, because we're going a little bit long, and the affiliates will be getting antsy as they're waiting. Let's finish it up with final thoughts from everybody, whether it's plugs or whatever. I'll actually start today, because delighted with the news after a really sort of tough period that Pooley's going to be back with me. And I've said it a couple of times and it just didn't pan out, but we know for a fact that we're going to record the next Great Stories together on Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to that, because I've been doing them on my own, and that's turned into a really interesting challenge kind of talking to myself afterwards. And I've enjoyed it. And I think I've got a way of working now, but it's so much better with Neil in tow. So I'm delighted to say that that next episode of The Great Stories, episode 33, will be with me and Neil in the traditional way. So I'm looking forward to that. Keep an eye out for that episode and go to greatstoriespod.com, where if you are interested, you could always have a look at maybe supporting the show in some way, which would make my day. So with that and my little shameless shilling for myself out of the way, let's go across for final thoughts to Cambridge.
Young boys.
You're gonna have to, you're really gonna have to put some context around that.
Obviously the football. Manchester United, Ronaldo, it's all about me. Jesse Lingard, Wan-Bissaka, the greatest right back, not young boys.
How much should you enjoy calling all of your family who are Man United fans, because you've told us about them all?
Individual.
It's a missed opportunity to rub it in, because you told us it's the first thing they do when they have an opportunity to gloat. They do,
but I'm bigger and better. I just share it with our 12 listeners.
You're bigger and better. It's only 11 listeners now because Lisa Marie's on today.
Well, she will listen back. That is so true. I guarantee she will listen back.
No. So, Lisa Marie doesn't count as a listener anymore. She's now a contributor. So, I just want to say
it's been great having Lisa Marie on today, and I'm looking forward to her being on many, many more shows in the future as well. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
And before we get to Lisa Marie to finish up, can I just say we have more than 11 listeners? These lads are absolutely. I don't know, they've got a morbid fascination with the fact that there's only a tiny listenership. I know for a fact there's not. So Carl Kopak, your final thoughts.
Just my unplugs, obviously. Some Green Grass, we've got a new writer this week, and I call Simon Weedy, who is a Liverpool fan who's written a piece. He's read in Breda on BREDA, I think I pronounced that correctly, on Twitter, and he's written a piece about going to see Lancaster City play as a Liverpool fan, which is just very, it's a very long piece and very, very compelling. It's really good. I'm really happy with that. I would also say that the Sherlock Madlers at Amberley were called on at the weekend with my friend's daughter, which is going to be quite interesting because I don't have to do an intro, and I'm going to try not to embarrass her by the fact that I've known her since she was literally a day old. But more than anything else, tomorrow night I'm not going to the Palace game tomorrow, because tomorrow night I'm going to the Hackney Empire to see the show of the socially distanced sports bar, which is two comedians, Ellis James, who's on Radio 5, who I talk about a lot, and Mike Bubbins, who I think might be the funniest man in the UK, and a journalist called Steph Gennaro, and I'm going to that gig tomorrow. I would recommend, if you like sport of any flavor whatsoever, and if you're Welsh, then you don't have to be, of course, because I'm not, but it's just the best 2 hours you'll spend in a week, and they don't edit their podcast down, so if they record for 2 hours, you get 2 hours. If they do three, you get three, and it's fantastic. It's just hilarious. So well done.
Yeah, you've mentioned these lads a couple of times.
Not enough people know about it, honestly. It's just so good.
Been on my long list for a while. I will get around to it because it's not something I ignore when you give a recommendation. And Lisa Marie, have you any final thoughts, any crocheted blankets you'd like to plug?
No crocheted blankets. I've got half a dozen projects. I'm very bad about starting things and taking a while to finish them. I would just like to say thank you for the invitation to be part of the podcast. I was equal parts elated and scared to death, but it has been great, and hope to continue on in the future, joining you all for these chats.
Oh, you are. Once you're available, that's it. You're in now. That's it. It's that's how this works around here, and we're delighted to have you on board. Genuinely mean that. It's great. It's great. It's exactly what we were hoping to do, which is to.
Well, Trev, I did tell you that I felt the podcast missed an American voice, perhaps female, with a hint of a Southern accent. And I think, you know, here we are.
Yeah. You did tell me that. What a coincidence.
That's amazing.
She's turning into a Carl Kopacker for one show.
It really is. I mean, she's fucking got it already. She's got it already. Yeah. It's amazing. You just like, you get into a virtual space with you lads and your ego goes through the roof. It's remarkable to watch. We look forward to seeing Lisa Marie's ego grow to epidemic proportions over the next couple of contributions. I've really thoroughly enjoyed the dynamic with everyone on the show today. So I want to say thanks to Lisa Marie for joining us and contributing as she did. Thanks to Carl and Cam. Thanks to Guy for his shit biscuit takes in the chats. And thanks to you, our far more than 11 listeners. We appreciate you immensely. I would like to say that if you are listening to this and the free side and you haven't ever had a go at the free trial for Anfield Index Pro, you should do. It's a wonderful body of content, I think is what the kids call it. Really good people doing really good work. Check it out if you can. So let's finish up. I've been Trev Denny, you heard Carl Kopacker, you heard Cam Branch, you heard Lisa Marie Hanahan, Guy Drinkle has been producing in the background. And until we speak to you again, be kind to your fellow Reds and stay safe out there.
Sports Social Podcast Network.